This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This week, the PGA Tour's best players go primetime with TGL presented by SoFi. In doubleheader action, Atlanta Drive takes on both Boston Common Golf and Los Angeles Golf Club. Plus, two primetime matchups on Tuesday. Keep up, it's golf. Tune in Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern only on ESPN, ESPN2, and the ESPN app.
Monster Energy. Everybody knows White Monster, Zero Ultra. That's the OG. It kicked off this whole zero sugar energy drink thing. But Ultra is a whole lineup now. You've got Strawberry Dreams, Blue Hawaiian, Sunrise, and Vice Guava. And they all bring the Monster Energy punch. So if you've been living in the white can, branch out. Ultra's got a flavor for every vibe. And every single one is zero sugar. Tap the banner to learn more.
I said that to you, 2026, to whatever this year is. So it hits the same, though. You know, I was going through my photos, looking for some photo. I'm like, oh, there's Garrett Crochet wearing a black and white baseballs and boring t-shirt in the visitor's dugout at Fenway Park, which you proceeded to wear like in BP all that day, right?
Yeah, I probably got some flack from Nike for it.
You did? Oh, yeah.
No, I don't know, but I know we're not allowed to like wear the licensed stuff. Oh. I was just repping the brand, though.
I know you were ahead of your time.
Yeah.
I knew right then that you would be doing multiple podcasts with us. So, but I always appreciate when talking to you. I really do. And it's a good time. So, but like, cliche question. Well, first of all, you're very excited about the hats, right?
Yeah. I've heard that they're swaggier this year.
Well, the hat that I showed you has a name. It's like a name. Like a definitive name, which you're going to be asking. It's called the Joe.
I like that.
You know the hat? You know the hat, right? I showed you? Yeah, the backward beast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the Joe.
You got to do the upside down logo. That's all the rage right now.
All right, yeah, I need you to help me. All right, so upside down. So, all right, anything you want to workshop, we'll make that happen.
Yeah.
All right, well, so, question. You know, I was sitting here with Christian Campbell last year and talking to him, and obviously completely different situation, but I love the like what the life was like a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago, what life was like. I mean, I think we were talking the other day about you like blowing 100 and like the live VPs.
Yeah.
Like how like, hey everybody, I'm good. But how different does it feel than a year ago?
Last year, I was talking to someone about this the other day. Like last year you could argue like I had a spot on the team, but I still felt like I was trying to make it. This is like the first year where like, okay, I've got a spot on the team. I don't have to fight tooth and nail to make the team, but I'm still trying to get myself in that mindset and that mode so then I can get going early. But, you know, coming off the biggest workload of my life, it's definitely a different stance on the subject and just, you know, trying to get going up to game speed as quick as possible. I think I've got one more live until then, so still some time.
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, yeah. But it's weird. It's funny you say that about making the team, but there's so many different aspects to last spring training for you. It was being new,
right,
learning names, making the team, but also it was executing the plan that you had from the year before, which we talked a lot about how, you know, you guys had implemented like the second half of 2024.
Right.
And then, okay, we think this is going to work. I don't know if you know it worked.
It worked.
But you know, but you going in, you're like, okay, I think it'll work, right?
Right, right. I mean, every year it's a little bit of that. Every year you kind of got to reinvent yourself to some extent, or at least I feel like you do. Looking across the league, it's like guys pretty much remain true to their strengths, but the way that you get there might be a little bit different. And you know, whether that's increased usage of the sinker or different pitches for first pitch strikes as opposed to, you know, just continuing to attack with the four. But that's always going to be a strength of mine, is getting down people's throats with the four seam. But I feel like the longer that you're in this game, the tendencies become a little bit more clear and there's less, I don't know, ambiguity to what you're trying to do on the mound.
So what did you notice teams, like, listen, if you have good shit, like, you have good shit, but, like, still teams are going to adjust. Did they adjust? Did you notice anything?
Later, I mean, definitely aggression early in the game. I feel like once we started to, you know, add the sinker in a little bit more versus right, I did it a little bit the first month of the season. Was still trying to figure out the right counts, and I feel like there were times where I used it poorly, and it kind of eliminated it off the table versus right for, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. It was very sparing. Not altogether, but it was very sparing compared to how it begun. Mm-hmm. And the second half of the year, I felt like we brought it back and were using it appropriately. It's, you know, as people talk about sinkers not being a whiff pitch. I think that as pitchers, we like to think that everything can be a whiff pitch if thrown in the right opportune moment. But it was a way to kind of combat what I was just saying about guys being aggressive to the four early in counts. It's just going to lead to either a swing and a miss or just miss and barrel. But oftentimes I feel like it's just a take. There's a wrinkle in it. Even though you're reading fastball out of hand, there's still a wrinkle there.
When you went through last year, and like that was excellent breakdown of adjusting, but when you went through last year, did you feel like was it what you thought it would be? Like, again, best laid plans, right? And was there any time in the course of the year where you're like, okay, I'm going to have to power through this, or there's a long way to go? You know, any time where you're like, okay, we have to adjust, or I have any doubt, or and you can say that now because
right.
I did it, right?
I feel like you just look at every start as its own thing. It's... You know, every inning, every batter feels like a constant state of adjustment. You know, I faced the Yankees 4 times last year. I faced the Blue Jays 3 times, 2 teams in the playoffs.
And by the way, in both cases, you dealt on your last time you faced them, right?
My last Yankees one.
It was a playoff.
Well, yeah. Last regular season wasn't as good.
All right, no, but I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, well, then I faced them 5 times then, if you count that.
Yeah, so...
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like the more that the same could be said for both sides. I mean, the hitters, they get to see your stuff more. But, yeah, I get to kind of get to the same end goal a little bit differently each time. Mm-hmm. You know, you start to have a feel for aggression as well. So it could work either way, I suppose. Like, yeah, my last Blue Jays one was good, but my first one was not. Like, I think I went, like, 5.2. One earned, but I came out with the bases loaded, and I think that they might have gotten cash, and I was like grinding for that. And
well, that's what they did.
Yeah. No swing and miss. I don't even remember what the question was. I got sidetracked.
No. Yeah. It was just that, like, the evolution of you. I mean, it's because I look at it, and again, best laid plans, and you just say, and it's okay if you get to a point in the year, like we had talked about that Met start, right?
Right.
And okay. They're worried, maybe I'm putting words in their mouth, or thoughts in your head. Well, they're taking me out because they're worried about me getting through a season and they're being precautious. I'm thinking, why?
Yeah.
Right? And then you're probably thinking, why are they worried?
Yeah. I mean, 100%. Yeah. I felt like I was kind of rolling at that time. I mean, no one thinks about... You never know until you know, I suppose, like when it comes to, hey, will I be able to hold up over the course of the year or not? In that time, I was just like, why?
Yeah. Right. Well, again, I've never been through it.
Yeah.
I know that, like, you've seen teams do this and you know what's coming. And even in spring training, the narrative was, okay, you got to get to 220 innings.
Right.
So it didn't, you know. But it's still like, why?
In the moment, I'm kind of just like, what's the big deal? You know? That's why you traded for me. Like, you know? But it all worked out.
It did. Yeah. Thank God you didn't pitch that inning.
Yeah.
Science. I do want to come back to, like, the spring training. And I'll reference the conversation I had with Christian again.
Because
we didn't know all the shit that he was going through. Like... We didn't know he was going home and talking about contract extensions.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So, and for you, like, we knew that this was, the minute you got traded, this was going to be a topic.
Right.
For you, looking back at it, because you didn't go, you signed what, like, first game of the year?
Whatever, right.
When the day before.
Like, you, 2 days after
day
or something,
before
yeah.
you, like, you ran away from me or something. Forget how that happened. But But going through, like, at this point, 365 days ago, was it like, what do you remember about that?
About going through those kind of conversations?
Yeah. Had it started? I wouldn't imagine.
No, yeah, it had started. It started, I mean, when was I traded? Like December 11th?
Yeah.
I think that it's like the first offer in the negotiation process was like Christmas Eve, December 23rd,
really?
Something like that. Yeah, so it started pretty early.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, and like you said, it was, to clear the air, I felt like it was pretty open across the league, like that, you know, I was open to an extension and, you know, wherever I was being traded, I assumed going into it that those talks would be had.
Yeah.
So, like, it was expected. And then coming into camp, like, you know, trying to, you know, make the opening day roster, but really trying to be the opening day starter was, like, my goal at the time. There was really no pressure there in terms of, you know, worrying about the numbers that were being talked about, because it was, like, if you guys are trying to sort out an extension, then there's some value that I'm bringing to the team.
You
like,
know, you were pretty confident.
I felt confident. Yeah.
But I always reference this. Mookie told me this isn't apples to apples, but he said the first one was always the hardest to one to turn down. Right. The first when they start talking extensions, like, again, different situation.
Right.
But still, like, the more money that you know, right?
Right.
And so was that the case? Like, was it, or did you trust the process?
No, yeah. I felt like I trusted the process. Yeah. I felt like, you know, there was good dialogue between, you know, not only us in the front office. When I say us, I mean my representation in the front office. Hmm. But between my representation and me. So I felt like going into it, I knew what my value was. And I knew what it would be on the free agent market. And I knew kind of, you know, doing it on a contract extension when you're limited to talking to one team only, you know, how that kind of evens itself out. And so I kind of knew what to expect. I had goals of where I'd hoped to end up, and, you know, we got there.
You must be happy that, happy it's on a contract.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But happy that you don't have to worry about it. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what that life is like, but, you know, we tie like school bull or whatever of seeing.
Right.
There's a lot of chaos going on.
Right. Yeah. It is. And, like, the way that it works, without even getting, like, too far into it, you know, like, it's tough. Like, because, you mean you just won back-to-back Cy Youngs and you still have a platform here? It's like, man, like.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's our system.
Yeah. But, I mean, but you must have been pretty happy to not have to go through the system.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, how it looks these days. Like, Ranger, for instance, like, it took him a while to sign. Framber, it took him a while to sign. You know, the lower term high AAV tends to be the way that teams are going, as opposed to, like, the total lump sum long-term deals. But, like, a guy like Framber's, I don't know his stats off the top of my head, but he seemingly throws 200 innings every year, and he's done it for the past six. And it took him until January to sign. It's like, man, that's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
I just had my first season of starting last year.
Yeah.
You know, or 2 years ago at this point. So it's,
I mean, you've seen teammates go through contract years before.
Right.
And everyone handles it different, but it's probably a life that you're pretty happy you don't have to live. Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, I mean, it is, like you said, everyone handles it differently. And it's like, you know, I'll be, what, 31, 32 at the end of this contract. So, you know, hopefully I'm with good health and everything that I'm still able to, you know, have that someday. Mm. But at that point, it's a little bit different because I've, you know, made some money. Whereas opposed to, it's like, you know, you're coming out of the ARB system. You really haven't made your money in your career. Like, yeah, you've made really good life-changing money, but you haven't really made the money that you have the opportunity to. So it definitely puts a little more pressure on that last year.
When did you realize, like, you knew that Boston was probably going to be a good place for you, right, when you were traded?
Yeah.
But when did it hit that you're like, okay, I know this is going to be a
so good, so good, so good.
New spring arrivals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Get ready to save big with up to 60% off Rag & Bone, Marc Jacobs, Free People, and more.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
Because there's always something new.
Join the Nordy Club to unlock exclusive discounts, shop new arrivals first, and more.
Plus, buy online and pick up at your favorite Rack store for free. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
Good place.
Well, I like Boston specifically.
Yeah, well, because if you're going to, it's one thing to get traded and talk about like.
Caballo.
Yeah, ooh.
Okay. The business right here.
Wow. I know, super wow. Solid.
Mucho, mucho gas.
That's another t-shirt.
Mucho gas.
Mucho
put
gas.
That on a hat.
Hey, the ideas are popping. Wilson Contreras stopping by the way. But you, when you think, okay, Boston's a good place, right?
Yeah.
But you don't know until you know. And
right.
You still, honestly, you still hadn't really been in Boston when you're in Fort Myers, which is, all due respect to Fort Myers, you know.
It's a little different.
But you know the organization. So when did it sort of hit you, like, okay, this is good. Like, this is a place where I can see myself being for a while.
It really didn't take long.
Really?
You know, I feel like as soon as the trade went through, you know, we talk about the free agency, like the team investing a lot of money in you. It's like that's a great sign of trust and a mutual agreement on both sides that you feel like, you know what, I want to go there. With a trade, it's kind of more one-sided. You don't really have the choice.
Yeah, you don't know, yeah.
But no, I felt wanted right away. I felt like, you know, to be honest, wherever I was going, that I wanted to sign the extension, like I said, and that was a place I wanted to be for a long time. You know, it could have been here, it could have been somewhere else, and I'd probably be sitting here saying the same thing, but Boston was a place that we identified really early between my representation, my wife, and myself, that this was a place that we hoped that we ended up. It was a place that we hoped that we felt like the farm systems matched up so that a trade would work out.
Do you tell Getzat? I mean, do you tell?
No, them? No. I don't know if that conversation was had between my reps and my agents and Getz. I doubt it. I feel like we were more so just like workshop and daydream and having a good time.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good when the dreams come true.
Yeah.
But it's funny, I talked to Getz at the GM meetings.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the days, like how that led up. And he said, the night before, he was basically wiping the Red Sox off the
board. Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did. I was following it pretty heavily just because I was curious.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, I feel like you get, especially at, like, the winter meetings, the GM meetings, it's like you almost see it on Twitter before I would hear it from my agent. So it's like I'm just, like, curious what's being said. Like, especially, like, when it comes to, like, you know, in-season housing, it's like when you're tackling that obstacle, you kind of got to get ahead of it pretty quickly. So we were just like, hey, we kind of need to make a plan. We had a bunch of furniture in Chicago, and it was like, are we going to the West Coast? Are we staying kind of closer to the Central? Are we going to the East Coast? So it was kind of fun just to, I suppose, like, follow it from third person. Even though it was about me, we were, like, definitely following it.
It's fun, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of. But it comes back to what I'm talking about now. This is great. I mean, like, you have a child. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
And everything, listen, all our lives evolve. But this is, like, the evolution of you in the last year is kind of crazy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I think that people... I'm using this moment just to stop and appreciate it.
Yeah.
But because I think people just, oh, yeah, Garrett Crochet, he's awesome. He opening day started. Oh, he's the ace. He's
like,
okay. Well, let's take a step back and like how different this is from a year ago.
Yeah. Right? Rachel and I talk about it all the time. Like, we never really talk about it like just this year. It's like, man, can you believe that we were in college? Like, it's been 6 years. And it was like college to big leagues to first season up. Like, but kind of banged up throughout the year, and then, you know, spending a whole year in Arizona rehabbing, and then it was like returning to play but kind of sucking and still kind of getting banged up, and then it was like starting for the first year and it went like fairly well, and then last year it went really well, and now we have a daughter. It's like, man, it's really, you know, it's gone kind of, besides like the injury and everything, but everything kind of led us to this point. This is where we hope to end up someday, but to actually be here is really cool.
It's a weird question. Do people treat you different, like, even than maybe even a year ago or 2 years ago? Like, and I'm not saying that in a bad way, in a good way. The reason I say that is because a friend of mine was out here yesterday and said, you know, that was asking, oh, you know, they always ask, great guy. And he also, it's like, he understands, like, who he is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I get that sense. Like, you understand, like, who he is and everything. So, but and I mean that in the utmost of, like, a biggest compliment.
Yeah.
You know, but that's an evolution too.
Like, right, right. Like,
because 3 years ago, you're a relief pitcher.
I mean, yeah.
Right?
When the trade happens and like, I kind of, you know, hear the things that are being said, and, you know, I already have expectations placed on myself, but, you know, I know the expectations that are viewed on me coming into a new organization of people that don't know me. And, you know, like we were talking about throwing 100 in live BPs, it was like, yeah, I felt like I fucking had to. I had to make a good impression. Yeah. But everything else I felt like just kind of came natural. Yeah. Just being myself, trying to be a good teammate, trying to learn, you know, kind of on the fly. That's kind of, I feel like, I guess, the game. You know, we talk about adjustments year to year. There's a lot of learning and growth, I feel like, year to year that you've kind of got to take head on, or you're going to get left behind. And I feel like that can be said for the best of the best.
Just with people, like your teammates, and you're right, and your coaches, but with people, like Boston is, you know, you're recognizable.
Yeah. It's a sports town. So sports town, people are pretty heavily like invested in watching all the different sports. I wouldn't say, I mean, it's a lot different than Chicago too. We were the little brother of the Cubs.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can kind of go anywhere and no one knows who you are.
Yeah.
And no one cares. Even if you told them, like, I play for, yeah, cool. I guess it's just different in that nature. But I wouldn't say like people like close to me treated me differently or anything.
Are you more comfortable? I don't know, maybe it's a cliche question, but are you more comfortable being like the guy that you are now, like the guy that you are in the sense of like the ace, the star, the everything? Are you more comfortable? Because again, this is new to you too.
Yeah. I feel like,
I mean, it took me a while.
Right. Right. No. Yeah. You get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad that I could talk to someone who's like-minded. No, I feel like I don't really view it that way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just trying to be myself. I feel a lot more comfortable, like, in my own skin.
Yeah.
You know, since returning from the Tommy John a couple years ago, like when I first debuted, I felt like, you know, everyone here, you know, they came up through the farm together. You know, I didn't come up through the farm. That's my taste right there. But so I didn't really have these established relationships. Yeah. It was like, I felt like it was me constantly like faking it, like, till I made it, and trying to be what I thought a professional was.
I remember
was,
you
what
saying
a big leaguer
we talked about that with the playoffs.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You're like, you know, you were in the corner and you like you didn't know what to do.
Or yeah,
like, yeah. So I would imagine you probably were in the corner for a while. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, pretty much. And not to say those guys didn't welcome me. We had some great vets with Chicago. It was more so I just didn't know. I didn't know how to be, didn't know how to behave. And, you know, after a while, it was like the Tommy John, that rehab. It's like you get around the guys again and you kind of forget what it was like before, because it's like, man, I just missed you guys. Like,
yeah.
So it's like I felt like I was able to open up more and be myself. You know, I feel like I've always been a guy who just kind of like says whatever comes to mind. But when you're a rookie and like you're surrounded by a lot of vets, like we were a young team in Chicago, but you know, it was also like there were some stars there. So it was like very soft-spoken. Didn't feel like felt like I kind of had to mute my personality just because I was the young guy.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Well, that's the nature of it, though. You know?
I know.
And that's kind of
a whole nother. You know,
that's like, kind of life too. Like I'm sure, like, you know, if you're interning somewhere, you can't like be you can't be super like flamboyant with your personality.
But it's a bigger we've talked a million times about like how baseball has changed for the better, that, but it just stinks that, like, because you got a great personality, congratulations, but you're great, and so it's, but you want everyone to feel good about themselves, right? And I would imagine that
you want guys to feel secure, especially
right.
Like
you need them, right?
Like, and you know, we had, like, you talk about KC, like, and then Roman and Marcel, we had some real young guys debut last year, and you know, these guys are going to be everyday providers for this team. I want them to feel secure in themselves.
Yes.
I want them to feel like they don't have to. I just want them to be the best version of themselves, whatever that looks like. If you're naturally introverted, you know, do that. Don't feel like you have to, like you have to put on a show for the guys because you think that's what they want. Just be you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How's this feel? So being in the clubhouse, how does the team feel different? Does it feel
I mean, obviously you've taken out some guys, so, but yeah. I don't know if you know this, Alex Bregman doesn't play. but this, how does it feel different? Is it too early to tell?
I think that's it.
It's too early to tell. Everyone's just strolling in here and golfing. Yeah.
I feel like you don't really get a good gauge of a clubhouse until you go from sweeping a series to getting swept, you know. Ooh. And then it's like, how's everyone bounce back from that? You know, how's everyone coming in the next day? But I feel like, you know, yeah, there were some guys that we didn't bring back, but there were quite a few acquisitions. You know, I spent a little time with Sonny in the offseason. I feel like every time I talk to someone with a microphone in my hand, it's like, Sonny, yeah, me and him at Vanderbilt. But anyway, so...
You know he likes trees? You know his whole tree thing?
I guess I haven't spent enough time with him. That's on me.
No, this is on my bucket list. It's like before I die, I'll have to talk to Sonny Gray about trees. But I asked Joe Ryan, I said, I asked Joe Ryan two things. More than two things. Number one, I said, is there anything I should know about Sonny Gray? He said he really likes trees. He likes to study trees, all right? So if you have a minute, ask him about trees.
Yeah.
And then I asked Joe Ryan, I said, was that photo with Crochet and Bregman staged at the All-Star game? He said no.
No. I'm good buddies with Griffin Jacks, who was a teammate at his time. With the Rays. And so I met Joe through him. And, you know, obviously Joe had Buxton there, but... it's like, you know, pitchers tend to go with other pitchers. I was an AL Central guy in the past. I feel like naturally we just kind of found each other.
It just kind of fit.
Yeah.
But I didn't mean to interrupt. But yeah, so the whole thing about the clubhouse. It's good. It's different, but it's good. But I love what you said about you never really know until you swept or get swept.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And I feel like to just piggyback on the clubhouse, it's like, we brought in guys who are, you know, have had some time, you know, have bounced around from different orgs, you know, so they've been in different clubhouses. And that's, I feel like, the toughest part is going into a new clubhouse where you know nobody. And, you know, Wilson was a Cub, then he was a Cardinal, now he's here. You know, Oviedo was a Cardinal, then a Pirate, now he's here. Sonny's been on, what, six different teams, and he's also been in the league for fucking 15 years. So they're all very comfortable in their own skin. And
I love that.
Yeah.
I like comfortable in your own skin clubhouses.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Yeah, I feel like there's that genuine nature and authenticity that you can sense right away that somebody's just being themselves, and I feel like it's pretty easy to reciprocate that when you feel it from the other side.
I have one more question, but before I get to that question, I want to apologize for asking how you shave your head the other day.
Yeah, Gillette Fusion Pro Glide.
I know,
not an ad.
Like literally, I'm at that point where I have to take that commitment. And I can't fathom, like, I can't do it.
The electric does the job, but I want it to be smooth like a baby's butt,
you
know? How
are you convinced?
I mean, it's growing out right now. This is a week of growth, tell.
How are you convinced that you don't miss a spot, though?
Just feel it. Okay. Just rub it.
See, these are things. This is the evolution of me.
Yeah.
This is totally off topic. Uniform thing.
I'm 26 and you're just getting here, so that's okay.
Well, I said to Marcelo when he shaved his head, whenever it was, a year or so ago, I said, I'd like...
What? He shaved his head?
Yeah, like...
Bald or just buzz cut?
Like buzz cut.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I
soft.
Said,
he's like, gotta go full.
He's like, I'm practicing for when I, like, get 50. I'm like, I got news for you. It doesn't work that way. He's like, don't deflect that on me. Your problem's on me.
People say that all the time, and then, like, it's like, if you've got a good hairline right now, you're probably fine. I've had a bad hairline since I was a freshman in college.
When was the last time you grew out your hair?
I shaved on my honeymoon, December of 21.
Ooh, that was the first time?
Yeah, that was the first time I shaved my head.
So for your wedding, you didn't shave? But
No, I tried, because it was bad, man. I was just like, I wasn't like combing it over, but I was kind of pushing it forward to hide the alleys.
Okay.
And I was like begging my wife, I was like, Rachel, please. And she was like, no, we're taking the... She wanted to take the wedding pictures. And now it's good to look back, though, because it's like, man, I looked so young. I had hair. But I was bald a week later.
Yeah, and again, it looks fantastic. Yeah. But I never stop learning. As old as I am, I've never stopped learning.
Yeah.
And I went from... You know, you go to... Well, I was going to say, you go to sports clubs. You probably don't go to sports clubs.
I did before. That's probably why I lost my hair.
They lock it in. They said,
no, I'm just kidding. No shade to sports clubs.
Yeah. Sports clubs, you want to sponsor. But if you... that they have, like, okay, Rob, you have the one, right?
Yeah.
And last time I went there, I'm like, I'm going with a zero.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a commitment.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. It is. I the first time that I did shave on my honeymoon, I think I used a two guard.
Okay.
And it made it worse.
Oh,
it,
really?
It just accentuated the issue. Like, I should have just done it.
Because you didn't want to go. You just, yeah. Like, you were not confident in it?
I knew that I was going to begin shaving my head, but it was, like, the first time.
Yeah.
It was a little scary.
Did you,
like,
do it, or didn't you let her do it?
No, I did it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a honeymoon.
I closed the bathroom door. I was like, I'll come out when it's done.
And she's like, what, are you sure that this is legally binding?
Yeah.
With this marriage? The other thing was uniforms. So I have to ask, like, we talk about, like, the upset, like, how crazy people are about baseball fandom everywhere, I guess with the Red Sox, but everywhere. Yeah. You saw the thing with the uniform.
I saw it on Instagram, yeah.
Right. So did you notice it?
No.
Like, you didn't, like, when you, because you guys had to wear them for the photos.
I would have never known if someone didn't say it.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like, it's the letters were.
Yeah.